The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects podcast. I'm David Sears with my very talented friend and host and co-host, Liz DeMoisey. Gifted and Talented Education Rejects is a podcast for the brilliant misfits, burned out brainiacs, and neurospicy overachievers who never quite fit the mold or did until they decided the mold was pointless. We qualified, but we weren't in the program. Now we're taking the mic. Liz, welcome to the podcast. How are we doing today?
We're here.
You know?
We're here. There's a podcast about midlife. For all the former gifted kids who now carry ibuprofen on their person at all times.
So if you've got your own gifted kid starter pack, the weird thing you always carry now, drop it in our DMs. We might read a few on the next episode. And we actually have set up some cool stuff, some social media, some email addresses, all sorts of stuff you can get in contact, which we'll give you at the end of the show. Thanks to the hard work by Liz. So, Liz, thank you for all you do, balancing everything. You pretty much run everything on this show. I just show up, you know, that's how it goes. Cause I only have four other podcasts and, three other jobs. And luckily I have a friend who has some time in between, taking care of her child, to help out. That is a full-time job.
I'm like working on stuff while folding laundry. Like I will voice to text stuff while I'm folding, while I'm switching things, while I'm cooking something, because I've got like the memory of a gnat sometimes, especially since having a kid. That random access memory, especially like the recent random access memory, it is just not there anymore. So if it's in my head, I need to say it or I need to record it or else it's gone.
There you go. It's that ADHD TikTok mentality we're all getting. Just their brain just spaces.
Mom brain, perimenopause. Yeah.
All right. So opening question. Tell us about a time you knew you were too smart for your own good, but you flopped spectacularly. I'm going to say I always think that I can do really well with a mechanical task. Like all I've got to do is just follow the instructions, right? Just real easy. And somehow I'll screw it up. I somehow screw it up. Like, it wasn't until I almost got shot when I got a flat in a rough part of Homewood, which is a suburb here in Birmingham. And I pulled over into a little cul-de-sac because my tire went flat. I have no idea what happened, what I hit. It just went flat. And, I'm panicking cause I had a Friday night show I had to do for the high school show and I had to be at the studio at 9. The show started right at 9 and it was like 8:15 and I was like, okay, I'll be smart. I'll pull under this light. I'll come over here and I'll just get here. Apparently the dude's whose house I pulled in front of had been robbed a couple times and he comes out with a gun saying, what the bleep are you doing? I'm like, I'm just changing a tire, bro. You can come check it out. You can come check it out. I've got a flat. But the problem was I was panicking because I was under stress and just mad at myself for having a busted tire. And I was completely screwing up the process. Getting the jack in a secure spot and getting the lug nuts off and everything. And I called my mom who was on a date with her boyfriend, which we'll talk about later in the show. And, he came and he was like, you know, you're changing your tire wrong. I was like, what? And he had to walk me through. Cause like the way I had done it was completely the wrong way of doing it. I didn't do it the proper way. You're supposed to go crossways with the nuts and not just circular. And I was just, I've changed tires before, but we never went over that in driver's ed. Cause that day, we were doing that tire maintenance was the example. We had a fire alarm go off. So we never made that up. because we all left the school because the fire alarm went off. So I've always, until today, have not done well with my tire stuff. Until that day, I learned how to change a tire properly. So just as easy as I thought it would be. Nope, did it wrong and almost got shot. So there you go. What's your time when you were too smart for your own good?
What I'm more guilty of than anything else is something I like to call Looney Tunes logic. I'll get an idea that sounds amazing in my head. But sometimes the execution is the problem. I was at my dad's house in Kentucky. I was about maybe, I was like 14 or 15. I want to say I was a freshman in high school. Yeah, I think I was 15. This was during winter. And I was old enough that my dad could leave me at the house by myself. And it was always pretty sweet because he would take me to the video rental store every morning before he went to work, get me some videos to watch. And he'd always leave me some money. And I called the Chinese food place I used to deliver because that's like, that's my big thing.
Look, anyway. Chinese, you can never go wrong with, especially the shadier the part of town, the better the Chinese.
Yeah. And it was just funny because I usually would kill an entire pack of General Tso's chicken, but this day I didn't, so I had leftovers. Well, there was a raccoon that kept coming down the chimney, and I used to hang out in the basement when I was a teenager because my dad had a finished basement, and that was his party room. And he had like a wet bar down there and a mini fridge. And like a big screen TV. And this was back in the days when the big screen TV, like it was like a big projection TV that took over the wall. And
before the HD stuff had really taken on about let's see, 2005 is when HD really started becoming mainstream. Yeah. So this is your 96, 97.
Yeah. It was a big TV. And I would be down there just, you know, on my air mattress watching movies all day, but I kept hearing this scratching thing and there was this raccoon. And it's like I would notice it and then it would leave. But I got tired of waiting for my dad's friend to come out and take care of it. So I decided to take care of it. And my method was I got a shipping box. And I put my container of leftover General Tso's chicken in the box. And then I opened the glass to the fireplace cover and I put the box down in front of the glass, like with the box top facing the glass and open and the container open inside. And I just waited. It worked. Raccoon was not going to say no to free lunch. It went in as soon as it was in and I could hear him in there. Munching, I closed the box up real quick and it was great. I was taking him up the stairs, but then I tripped over my own feet running up the stairs and the box came open and there was like cold, sticky General Tso's all over the carpet and the raccoon busted out and ran down my back.
Oh, wow.
Back to the basement fireplace. That I caught him from, and he ran back up the chimney. I didn't see him there the rest of the time. But yeah, it's like back in those days, we didn't use the chimney for a fire or anything like that. I think my dad has gas logs now, but back in those days, it was just decoration.
Oh, wow. You know, that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's a pretty fun experience. So yeah, brains don't always equal balance. Tell us your best flop story at Gator Official on Instagram. It's G-A-T-E-R Official on Instagram. We'll pick one to shout out next week. Wrapping up from last week, previously on Gifted and Talented Education Rejects.
We confess the most ridiculous things we believed as kids, like trying to catch Santa Claus on camera. Karate septic trucks and vampire mirror tests.
We shared the five things we tell our younger selves. Don't chase people. Don't value yourself. And for me, don't keep making the same mistakes.
And then we swap some life hacks. My errands are my side quest. My bone broth is Witch's Brew. And David is still doing some price per ounce math at Sam's Club.
Sam's Club and Amazon. That's where I compare, yes. You know, make it up that way. And finally, we revealed how we judge people in a good way. The Tim Curry test, where Beatles and Elvis are on your top artist lists. Weird Al test, plus how you treat waitstaff and animals.
Our younger selves would have been thrilled with the Funko Pops, but mine would be mad about not owning the 6-player X-Men arcade cabinet. And speaking of that, what is the one ridiculous thing that you used to believe as a kid? Send it in to us via DM or tag us on IG or Threads in our shiny new account, @GatorOfficial. That's G-A-T-R. Yep, Gator spelled with an E, official. And we'll add the best of it to our Rejects Hall of Fame.
And speaking of Hall of Fame, our parents are dating, not each other, because they've been divorced. Mine have been divorced since 07. Yours divorced since the 90s.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, 80s. And 80s. Then my mom buried her second or her third husband. 2 years ago. So she's now back in the dating.
It's weird because I remember when they first got divorced, my mom was with a church group like Life After Divorce. It wasn't called that, but that's basically what the class was, helping other divorcees talk and mingle and just getting back out there and working through the trauma of a divorce. My dad, I want to say waited about 2 years, then he dated for a little bit. Then he just said it wasn't for him. So he's just happy being single and hanging with friends. My mom, though, had a kind of serious boyfriend, and then they never really clicked. And like, they weren't exclusive, but they were exclusive. It was weird. And then she was single for a while, and then she met her current boyfriend that they've been together, I want to say 12 years.
That's really good.
My mom danced a lot before she hurt her knee. She would go dancing. She'd always wanted to be a dancer, like swing dancing, cha-cha, stuff like that. So she took some dance classes and she met Steve, and they started dancing, and they've been together ever since. Steve's a great guy. We text. He sends me memes, some memes my mom wouldn't approve of, but he sends me some memes. He's a fun guy. He's a good guy. He's very nice, and I'm glad he's there for my mom. He's helped her out tremendously during her surgeries and during some tough times. So he's a good dude. I'm glad she has him. And they say they're never going to get married. And I was like, well, you do you. If that's what y'all want to do, just be boyfriend, girlfriend for the rest of the time. That's fine. Yeah. So, my dad, like I said, he's happy being single. So, unless, you know, oh goodness, what's the girl from, Law and Order that married Jason Sehorn?
Mariska Hargitay.
No, that's SVU. She was the assistant DA. Oh, I got to look this up now. That's my dad's crush. He's like, if she ever said, hey, you want to go on a date? He'd say yes. I can see her face because she was in Rizzoli and Isles.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Dana Delaney?
No. Angie Harmon.
Yeah.
Angie Harmon. My dad has a crush on Angie Harmon. If she ever asked him, he would totally go on a date with her. So, I think that's about it for women that get it there, or maybe, I don't know, Kathy Ireland. I don't know. I think he'd date Kathy Ireland. So Rachel Hunter, Cindy Crawford, any of the swimsuit models from the '80s and nineties. So, all right. So how is it like with your mom dating now that she is in Arizona and,
oh boy,
which is the Florida West of retirees.
It is, in a lot of ways. Yes. My mom is living her best life. It's kind of crazy because she's in a 55 and up community that is right across from the development that I live in. And it's fabulous for her. They are such a fun group. There's always things going on. People are always calling her, asking her to go places. And, you know, at first she complained. She's like, oh, there's no single men. And I'm just looking at her and I'm like, you gotta wait. Okay.
Wait for the wives to die.
Well, not just that. It's like the women are going to be the ones that are active and wanting to do things. It's going to take a while for you to actually find the bachelors. She's found the bachelors and, you know, whatever she wants, she's got somebody to go do it with her. But the problem is she's had a wild hair up her rear end and she's wanted to find someone younger and more fun. And at Christmas time, my niece, who's like 25, 26, she's from Tennessee, lovely girl. And she's married. And her older brother, who's 30, he came out. And my niece thought it would be absolutely adorable for her to get on Tinder and maybe find some nice old man to take her to lunch or something. And my mom is 77. My mom has never internet dated. I, on the other hand, have been in those trenches where I was for, you know, over a decade.
Is your mom a swipe writer? She just swipes right regardless.
Oh yes, she was.
Oh, wow.
And the other thing was she set her age parameter as 30 years old to 55, which is fine.
G-MILF.
But some of the stuff that the kids were telling me that they were saying, I was just like, you know, this is still kind of a small town. I realize we're a good sized place, but this is still a small town. You can't say stuff like that because this is still a small enough place that you run into people. And as a result, we can't go to the nice Costco on the east side anymore. Well, I can go. She can't. But if she wants anything from that Costco, I have to go and I have to get it or else we're going to be ducking away from a tall guy.
Is she like hair. That grandmother on Mama's Boy? Did you ever see that movie, Grandma's Boy?
Haven't.
Oh, there's one senior who is just all about the younger men and she is raunchy. It's a funny movie. It's from Adam Sandler's production company and it stars two of his buddies, the gay couple from Big Daddy. They're the two video game guys that live at the house. It's funny. I highly suggest it.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it though.
Get the unrated version. Get the unrated version of Grandma's Boy. It is funny.
And it's funny because I did have a few moments where I'm like, am I the asshole here? But then they're both looking at me and they're like, we need an intervention. And I'm like, y'all are the ones that, you know, invited this in. You guys are the ones that are going to have to clean it up. Cause I say something, I'm just being an asshole.
You're being the stick in the mud daughter. Yeah.
Yes. She doesn't realize we're not that far from the border and you can't be agreeing to meet someone you don't know in hiking spaces that do not have cell reception. That is not a safe thing to do.
She was doing that?
No, she was talking about it. And I'm like, uh-uh.
Wow.
No. No.
You were having to be the one with common
Absolutely
sense.
Absolutely not.
She was the Absolutely hormonal teenager. Not.
Exactly. I feel like I have a teenager sometimes. And I love her to death. I love her to death. But I'm like, you know, when I was a teenager and I was like on the Star Wars chat talking with guys, and you were coming over looking over my shoulder, I feel like it's time I return the favor now. So that's what we're dealing with.
Has your parent ever pulled something like this? Bonus points if it ruined your favorite restaurant, grocery store, or gym. Tell us about it on Instagram or Threads at Gator Official. Remember, it's G-A-T-E-R Official right there. All right. So now let's talk about what happens when the gifted reject grows up. You have jobs, careers, relationships, basically the fallout. How has being almost gifted shaped your job, careers, or relationships, or how you've been perceived? I've been comfortable where I've been. I've not always done what I've wanted to do. Like when I was in college, I was going to be the next Paul Feinbaum. I was going to write columns. I was going to host a radio show. I have hosted radio shows. I had a weekend show for a while. That just went away, unfortunately, because the people that we were doing it with moved on. One got a better gig, and the other one was just burned out from doing radio 6 days a week, which sometimes we work 7 days a week. We both got burned out, so I totally understand it. Relationships, it never really bothered me. It hasn't really affected me with that. I've always been attracted. I have a type, big boobs. So the one girl I dated without big boobs was one of the worst relationships I've ever been in. And so I've only had four serious adult relationships, and three of the four had big boobs. And my wife had the biggest boobs of them all. And, she got reduction cause she needed it cause it was killing her back. But I mean, we're both smart, and I've always dated smart women, which I think helps, because you have to have someone you can talk to, because you cannot just have someone there. What's that show? Or that short story? I can't remember it, but basically it's where everyone's equal and you have like chains, and like to make everyone equal, you have to carry so many weights so you're as strong as everyone else. Or if you're really intelligent, they put an earpiece that blasts. I gotta look that up. It was one I read for my English class. I want to say it was by Harrison Bergeron, by Kurt Vonnegut. Harrison Bergeron by Kurt Vonnegut. I knew it was by one of the great sci-fi writers. But that one, like the dad of Harrison is very intelligent, but he's got an earpiece that makes a sound that disturbs his thinking, so he can't be thinking too much. But his wife is really his new wife is very stupid, so she doesn't have it. So she doesn't have to listen to the noises that interfere thinking, so you can't be too deep with your thoughts and overthrow the system. It's a great Vonnegut short story that Harrison Bergeron.
I'm gonna have to look at that.
It's one of Vonnegut's.
It sounds familiar.
I think we read it Horizon. I want to say that was Mr. Negron's class. We read it there, and then I read it in college, and then when I was reading some Vonnegut, I read it again as an adult. But I want to say it was Mr. Negron's class, because we did like a sci-fi unit, because we read a Twilight Zone screenplay. We read
I remember that.
I'm pretty sure we read Harrison Bergeron, and we read Flowers for Algernon. So we read all those. They were all together. Shout out Mr. Negron. He made reading class so much more fun. He took over for that mean substitute who just hated us that we were happy. She was miserable as a substitute. I forget her name, but she was waiting on me at Chi Chi's, and she purposefully was being jerkish to me and my family because she hated we were happy, and she was an unhappy substitute.
I don't remember her.
Yeah, I forget her name. But when Mr. Negron took over, that class did a complete 180, became fun and enjoyable. Mr.
Negron was awesome.
Mr. Negron was a great, great teacher. Shout out, Mr.
And then there was the sergeant major. I forget his name. I just remember the rank, but he was the guy that came in. He was former military, and he loved Edgar Allan Poe and poems and all that sort of stuff.
That was eighth grade because I was gone then. I was gone for the
end. Yeah, he used to come in and he would substitute with the lit class too. And oh my gosh, she was always good to have.
So, anyways. Career wise, am I where I want to be? No, but that's the mere beauty of podcasting right now. I can still do the show as I want. I can do it with friends I want. I enjoy getting to explore topics. I do this show. I do a wrestling podcast. I have a Highway to Health show about health. I've got conversations that nobody wants to have, and I'm getting ready to launch my sports show, the David Sears Experience. So I'm learning all this stuff, and it's difficult, but I'm content with where I'm at. And I mean, it's like, I do what I want to do full time? No. And I have to work multiple jobs to support what I want to do, but I'm happy with what I do, you know? For the most part, I've had great bosses. The only real jerkish boss I had was my first job, at Clear Channel, which is now iHeart Media. But other than that, I've had great bosses. So, they always know I'm smarter than sometimes I act, because I tend to just, I'm very impulsive when something, I have no filter. If something pops in my head, just comes out. Don't really think about, should I say this or not? So that's been a little problematic. But other than that, I've not really had any issues. I think of the one time I've been in trouble at Cumulus, I was so angry at Eli Manning for upsetting the Packers. I tweeted out, I want to say this is 2011 or 2012. I tweeted out, I hope all the Mannings die in a plane crash. He's like, delete that tweet immediately.
Oh boy.
Yeah. He's like, delete that tweet immediately. He texted me and called me to make sure I got the message. So, other than that, it's been fun. I'd say it's helped shape me into the individual I am today. So how about you? How's it affected you in relationships, jobs, and careers?
Relationship wise, well, that's a funny one, because I'm the person who thought that nobody was interested, but it turns out everyone is a secret admirer when you can't read signals.
I was like that too in college. I had a beautiful Brazilian diver who spent an entire summer with me, and I had no idea. I'm just like, I thought she'd just be really friendly. And yes, I thought exactly. I had like no clue that she was into me, and she's this beautiful Brazilian girl. And I'm just like, hey, nice. Let's go have fun. And then there was this really hot track athlete, who was in my sociology class my freshman year, and we hung out all the time, but it never clicked. Hey, she's interested in you. You can act on this. And it wasn't until my junior year of college that it clicked with me and Leanne. I was like, she's interested in me. I'm interested in her. Hey, I can try this. So now with Lila, I will say Lila, I was more interested in her than she was interested in me at first.
And, but it worked, because she was direct with you.
Well, after she figured out that I was interested, she became direct. But she was she was very oblivious to the fact that was hitting on her. It took a graduate assistant in the same office, because the first time I finished that class, I went to her office, and his name is Bobby Papioni. And he was in there. He was just observing this entire interaction. And after I left, she was like, was he flirting with me? And Bobby goes, oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, but she finally put two together, and we've been together. It'll be 20 years in March. So sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, that triggered something with me too about missing signals.
Yeah. You know, I was always awful about that. And, you know, it comes from when you are into things that, you know, typically girls in those days were not into. You're used to having male friends. You're used to being the buddy. And so you sort of associate guys as friends, not as potential dates. And so when someone's friendly with you, you're sitting there thinking, this is cool. I found someone who's into the same stuff I'm into. I've got someone to talk about this crap with. You're not thinking of it the same way. But like when it comes to work and jobs, I've usually been promoted without actually applying, or it's been offered. And depending on the situation, I've either declined or reluctantly taken the leadership role. The two times I've actively pursued it, even then it was still kind of reluctantly because I didn't trust my competition to be fair with the employees. But I'm also pretty evil about stuff because I found out early that being perceived as reliable and competent worked in my favor, because it meant the more stuff I could get away with. Yeah, when I was about 16, actually, I want to say I was 17 at this point. This was when I was working at the movie theater now in Disney Springs. I used to get away with some pretty bad, big shenanigans that probably I should have been fired for.
Nice.
The biggest one, for weeks, every Thursday, I was messing with the sliding letter marquee that was over in the West entrance lobby. It was like a board. It was like one of those like boards that just kind of folds out, and it wasn't fancy or anything like that. It was just like the sliding letters, and on the back they'd have a poster. And the guy that I had a crush on was the one who used to update it every week. And he was about maybe 6, 7, 8 years old or something like that. But it was an age where it was an inappropriate age gap. And
was it a felony?
Do anything? Yeah, because I didn't want to ever be called jailbait. Because that's the word that my mother used. And so it's like that word would get said and my hackles would rise up like a dog. I'm like, no, I don't want to be that. So it's like the only thing I really could do was irritate the crap out of him. Because, you know, even then, I'm a brat. This is how I roll. So he was updating the marquee, and after he would update the marquee and it would be over in the corner near the janitor, like where the little janitor fill up area was, where you could get the mops and everything like that. At the end of the night, I would sneak over and I would start swapping around letters, and I would make one of the words like something absolutely filthy. And nobody ever said anything. But he would notice the next day when he got there to close. It's like no one would notice or say anything all day long. But when he got there, he would see it. And by then, I'd already be there and I'd be like watching. And I'd be at the popcorn machine, like filling up the popcorns, because they had the pass-through system at AMC. So you fill it up from the back. And I had like perfect view. And I would be filling up the popcorns and cracking myself up watching him freak out. And it was great fun until his younger brother, who was like 2 years older than me, started working there, and he caught me red-handed playing that game. And so Jason comes over and he starts moving the letters too, and before you know it, we're competing. And if we needed letters, we stole something from Being John Malkovich. Because that was like, it was coming out, and that, you know, it had just about every letter you could possibly need. And I can't actually say on air the words we put on the board, aside from, well, I can't even really say that word.
Did you
I don't want to get strike.
Did you do the F word?
We didn't actually use the F word, but
did you use the C word?
Yes, we did. And there were others that were just pretty vulgar.
That's also around the time that didn't the Deep Throat movie or the Dick movie come out about Nixon with.
Yes.
So I'm sure you've played with that some.
Yes. Well, probably the only one I can get away with. Big Fish was coming out. We called it, or I forget if Big Fish was on. I wrote Big Dick instead of Big Fish.
Nice.
And then Toy Story was coming out, so you know we had to put something to Toy Story 2, so you know we had to put something in front of that. But yeah, that's what was
Sex Toy out. Story 2.
Yes, that's what it was. And we're both like cracking up. And the next day I get there and the board is missing. We didn't see it all day. And then on Saturday when it reappeared, it's like all the letters were fixed and there was a plastic cover and a lock and key over
there
it.
You go. I knew it. They were going to put a key on there.
They had to childproof it because of me.
At least you didn't get fired for it. And they
didn't know it was me.
Oh, Jason didn't turn you in?
No, he didn't, because I'd turn him in.
Nice.
Mutually assured destruction.
Nice. Oh, man. Oh, wow. All right. So now we're going to talk about the adult fallout we faced, the burnout, the perfectionism, the ADHD tangents, imposter syndrome. All of that sound familiar? I am very much one of those dudes that I have to work. If you ask me to do something, I will do it. I never consider. I will end up with doing 4 jobs and working 7 days a week, 16-hour days. And it's just the way I am, because I have to be the guy that you can rely on. I'm going to be there. And it's been really difficult for me. And it took me until my 40s to learn to say no. And because I was always, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can stay extra late. Yeah, I can come in and do that. So it was very much difficult for me, which led to the burnout. Because when I left Cumulus for back in 2021, I worked. There was a whole shenanigans that went down and I was burnt out. I was ultimately rejected by it rejected. And I was like, I can't do this. I got to go. So I gave them, instead of a 2 weeks notice, I gave them a 2 months notice, said I'd work through the end of the year for you. December 31st would be my last day. And then I was so burnt out. I didn't have a job for 4 months. I was really depressed. Lila was great during that time. She was very supportive of me. It was just very frustrating and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do. That was my dream and I left my dream and it was just so frustrated and burned out. And then I got into Tony Curry Radio, started working there, and that's what this airs on, Tony Curry Radio. So that was helpful. And I worked for Chick-fil-A, then I worked for ATI, then I went back to Cumulus on part-time basis, and now I just work for ATI, Cumulus, and Tony Curry Radio. So I have 3 jobs, but it was just a lot of burnout. And then I don't know if you've seen the episode of Malcolm in the Middle where the dad wants to fix the light bulb. All he has to do is fix a light bulb. But as he goes to get the light bulb out of the cabinet creaks. So he goes to get some WD-40
cabinet.
And it just like, he keeps finding other tasks. And at the end, he's changing the oil.
I do that.
He's changing the oil of his car at the end. And that's what happens to me sometimes. If I don't stay focused on a task, I will have to get sidetracked by another task. And it'll just be a string of incompleted tasks. And,
you know what that reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of Family Circus, how PJ would have like a little trail of him doing stuff. That's how it is with me doing stuff sometimes.
Like,
there's a trail.
I had to focus partly because I have cats and they will eat my chicken if I leave it out. I had to meal prep before we did this show. And I was like, I got to get all this done because if I leave it out, I'm going to forget about that. I've still got laundry to fold right now that I've got to get. get done, but I was like, I know that. So I've got a little to-do list to do. I've got to do my Spanish for today, my Spanish homework, because I got Duolingo, and then I got to read a little bit. So I've just got all my little things to do. I got the Apple reminders on my phone to do everything. So how do you deal with that? Because I mean, I know you faced burnout tremendously, because you're like me, you would work yourself sick, literally.
There's a motto that my mom always said, and it was, you can eat an elephant one bite at a time. So what that means for me is sometimes I have to break stuff down into literal 5-minute increments. I will set a timer for myself and I will say, okay, for 5 minutes, I'm folding laundry. Okay. For 5 minutes, I'm doing this. For 5 minutes, I'm doing that. And that's what I've had to do sometimes. And there's other times when my body just wants to rest. If I can rest, I'm just going to rest. The other one, it's kind of woo-woo, but I've got a Tibetan singing bowl. And I'll sit there and I'll make the sounds with that and just kind of like focus on the sounds.
Mm.
And usually that's one of my things. The biggest one that I've had to overcome, and I had to acknowledge it and tame, is something I saw a lot when I taught cosmetology. And I saw this in my adult students, because a lot of times when you're ADHD, you have a habit of getting prepared to do something, and you'll buy all of the equipment and then you'll go do it. And then you don't do it perfectly the first time. So you're like, screw this. And so it's the perfectionism. You have to learn that sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's going to be a slow burn for you. And you've got to stop and look at your progress. And it's not just with trying new things. Sometimes it's with, say, you know, if I'm watching my carbs and I have macaroni and cheese, I have to stop myself and say, okay, yes, I had this at lunch. We're not having a screw this day. And gonna eat stuff that's high carbs at dinner too. That's not what we're doing. We have to get back on track. So the perfectionism, and then like one thing gets off track and suddenly the perfectionism goes to hell. That's the big habit that I've had to tackle and that I've noticed a lot with people.
Mm.
Another one is imposter syndrome. When I was in Orlando, one of my final jobs before I moved out to Arizona was working in the spa and the salon at the Four Seasons Orlando. And I love that job. But for the entire first year, I was certain I was going to get fired. I mean, it was the worst imposter syndrome ever, because it's like everyone else, I would just look at them and I would just be like, they're so graceful. It's like they belong here. And then I'm just like, sometimes I'm having to bite my tongue so hard to use like the proper nomenclature and to say the right things and to follow all of the Forbes service standards to make sure that if I'm ever audited, I hit every single mark that I have to. I know I'm going to get fired. I know I'm the only person who's like doing this. I know I'm the only one that is counting how many effleurages I do in my head. But no, it turns out a lot of us were dealing with that. It's just, we were all kind of high functioning. But yeah, imposter syndrome will get you.
I will say I've never really felt the imposter syndrome. I just always felt that I was such a people pleaser. I was always worried that I would make someone unhappy. That's the worst thing to me, is make someone unhappy and to not help them do what they want to do. So, I mean, burnout, perfectionism, ADHD, tangents, imposter syndrome. Yeah, we're talking about all of us. A lot of us have felt this. So if you felt that, and we want to know how has being almost gifted shaped your adult life, DM us or leave us a comment on Gator Official on Instagram or Threads. That's G-A-T-E-R Official on Instagram or Threads. So let's end on a positive note for today. What's one midlife thing you swore you'd never do but now love? To me, it's meal prepping. I always wanted to, I'll just cook whatever I feel like. But now I'm like, I have to have some organization. It helps me stay on track with my calories and my weight loss if I meal prep for the week. And it's so weird to me because I was not a person that was about that. Cause I'm always like flying by the sweet seat of my pants. I'll just pick something up or just cook something. So what's something for you?
Well, I've always had a little bit of a young fogey streak, but this one I really had to stop and think about. Cause a lot of things, like, you know, they were already kind of habits, but, I don't get to do this as often as I like to, because I'll get tied up in the afternoon, but I love eating my big meal at lunch or like a big brunch or early dinner. And then
a 5 o'clock dinner.
Yes. Yeah.
I have to, I like 6:30, 7 o'clock, 6:30 or 7 o'clock.
Because if I'm trying to go to bed at 10 o'clock, I just sleep so much better. If, you know, I'm not still digesting something, and it doesn't matter if I'm just, you know, going very protein heavy, carbs, no carbs, doesn't matter. If I can eat before 5 o'clock, that's usually ideal for me. But you know, it doesn't always work out that way.
So those are the things that we love. We want to feature what you love in our next episode. So tell us your reject story or DM us on Instagram at G-A-T-E-R Official. That's Gator Official, Gator with an E, or tag us on Threads or Instagram so we can share it next week. Well, we got to get out of here. It's getting close to putting Liz's child down. That sounds wrong. That sounds so wrong. Putting your child down, putting your child to bed. Let's try that. Go follow our social account on Instagram and Threads. From the link on our official Instagram account, you will find a link to previous episodes, updates, and links to show your support for myself and my co-host as a sponsor of the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. Liz, how can they find you on social media?
I am at Liz_DeMoisey_books. And that is DeMoisey, DeMoisey on Instagram.
I am at David Sears 75 on Twitter, at David Sears 1982 on Instagram. I'm on TikTok as David Sears 75. I never use it. I just get videos from Liz, my wife, there. So if you want to send me a video, I will watch it. Just David Sears 75 on TikTok. Liz, it has been a pleasure. Can't wait to talk to you next Sunday. I know we'll be doing it late. You got the in-laws visiting, so we'll be doing a late night podcast. Can't wait to figure out what we're talking about with you next week.
Maybe my in-laws. No, they're nice. I like them.
Well, excuse me. For Liz DeMoisey, I'm David Sears. This has been the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.